The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com. Should you start a nonprofit in high school? This article was written by Anshi Purohit. Many high school students believe starting a nonprofit will help their college applications stick out. But whether students should start their own organization depends on a plethora of factors and is far from necessary to get into a good college. If students decide to start a nonprofit solely for their benefit and the possibility that they could get into an elite university, their efforts may not hold as much value. Passion and dedication. Putting together a plan to start an organization and maintain it requires an immense amount of passion and dedication. Many high schoolers who aspire to start their own initiative have a vision and lofty goals, but narrowing their focus proves to be a major challenge. Starting a timeline and keeping up with it is crucial for the success of an organization. If students have too many other extracurricular commitments or cannot manage their time well, running a nonprofit won't be sustainable for them in the future. Students should be eager to collaborate with others and pivot when faced with obstacles. Not only are they responsible for creating their nonprofit, they have to keep multiple elements, such as a website or social media account, up and running by appointing a team. Using strong leadership skills to get projects completed enables a team of high school students to further their goals. If students are no longer dedicated and passionate, they will procrastinate and let their timeline fall apart. When managing operations gets tougher, high schoolers hoping to start a nonprofit should prepare themselves to continue working. Paperwork and finances. The first avenue students should pursue to start an organization is through school, where high schoolers can start a club that may branch out into its own website. All students need is a social media account to spread the news of their new club and a staff sponsor. Filing for nonprofit status is more complicated, and it can involve hiring lawyers as well as obtaining various kinds of legal certification. This article covers the rudimentary procedure for those living in the United States. First, depending on the kind of nonprofit the student plans on starting, they need to register their organization in the state they want to incorporate it in. An organization called the National Association of State Charity Officials, NASCO, has more information about how to do that. Then, students must complete a variety of forms from the IRS, such as IRS Form 1023. Other forms are involved, but I won't go too much further in depth. After the long and tedious process is done, they need to open a bank account and apply for tax-exempt status. From that point, students should research what other steps must be taken for their nonprofit to obtain its status, where the lawyers and tax specialists come in. Getting involved in this process may not be sustainable from an economic standpoint. Starting and maintaining a 501c3 nonprofit can cost anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000 USD, according to Forbes. The certification can provide some tax benefits and other advantages in the corporate world. Students should keep this in mind when considering the pros and cons of getting their organization a nonprofit status. Personal experiences. As a high school student who helped found and is running an international literary publication called Sunderful Writings, I am still unsure whether our organization will file for nonprofit status. While having nonprofit status does increase the reputability and reliability of an organization, it shouldn't be a student's main goal when pursuing an initiative. My friend and I started our organization to combat a setback we faced as teen writers who were rejected from many literary publications before learning how to submit stories and edit our work. We found the submitting process to be both discouraging and frustrating after we received minimal support and multiple form rejections. Now that we know how to navigate the literary world, starting our publication to empower emerging writers so they can get a foothold remains an important cause for us. If you are interested in starting your own nonprofit or other kind of organization, it's crucial that you are working towards a goal that you are willing to spend a lot of time expanding and changing. Starting from the grassroots level is difficult, and before starting a nonprofit, you should consider whether you have the time available to commit to your cause and form strong bonds with members of your leadership team. From my experience, maintaining transparency and motivation throughout the early months is one of the most essential stepping stones for launching a nonprofit. So, what should students pursue? Colleges seek students who are involved in initiatives they truly enjoy and believe will help others. High schoolers shouldn't found a nonprofit just to get into what they view as a good college. It is notable to mention that there are various organizations in existence which students can be a part of and make a tangible difference. Joining pre-existing initiatives is important in the grand scheme of things, because nonprofits expand their platforms through outreach and can then enact more powerful change. Students can also get involved in advocacy through social media opportunities, school-wide goals, and community events. However, if students wish to found a nonprofit and are passionate about the cause they are advocating for, they should take the leap and challenge themselves to meet their goals. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com, How to Get College Scholarship Money, A Complete Guide. This article was written by Mia Barnes. The process of deciding where you'll go to school, which classes you want to take, and how you'll decorate your dorm can be overwhelming in its own right. Factor in the financial side of things, and applying for college can feel downright daunting. Thankfully, scholarships can make the whole process easier and cheaper, sometimes even free. Here's how to get extra cash to fund your education. 1. Know where to look. Okay, you know you want to apply for a scholarship, but where do you find one? With over 1.7 million scholarships available in the United States alone, it can be hard to know how to start. Let's simplify things. The first method is to contact a school's financial aid office or admissions department and ask what their scholarship process looks like. The staff in these departments will likely be happy to walk you through applying for scholarships. They may even give you a list of unique scholarships available through the school. Otherwise, you can ask your high school guidance counselor for help. You can also search for scholarships on reputable websites like collegeboard.org, scholarships.com, and scholarshipowl.com. This is a good approach if you are not sure which college you want to attend or are trying to find scholarships from non-school affiliated organizations. These databases are helpful for finding any type of scholarship, whether merit-based, rewarding students based on skill, or need-based, meaning they reward you based on financial need. Watch out for scholarship scams on sketchy websites, including any sites that ask you for your bank account info, charge an application fee, or guarantee you'll earn money. Typos are also a red flag. Preying on people who need money quickly, these websites can take your personal data, install computer viruses, or even steal your hard-earned cash. If you stick to reputable sites, you shouldn't run into any issues in your search. 2. Make good grades work for you. Many scholarships reward students for their academic achievements. When I was a college freshman, for example, I got $1,000 from the writing department by getting straight A's in my English classes that year. The money covered my textbooks, fees, and part of my tuition for the next semester. Talk about a nice surprise. Find out if your school offers any academic merit scholarships that reward students for doing well in their classes or on tests like the SAT, ACT, and PSAT exams. Some universities will automatically consider you for academic merit scholarships when you apply or while you're attending classes. Others require separate scholarship applications. 3. Apply your talents. Some merit scholarships will give you cash based on your artistic or sports abilities. If you have a penchant for dance, music, painting, creative writing, or photography, you may be able to secure an art scholarship. Most scholarships require you to submit a portfolio of your work, and some require an essay. Like all other scholarships, they may also be location-based. An example of an art scholarship is the Doodle for Google Scholarship, open to students from kindergarten through 12th grade. The winner gets $30,000 to put toward college. Playing sports in high school is another great way to secure funding. 4. Got a special skill? Even if you can't catch a ball to save your life, many schools reward students for being good at a particular hobby or extracurricular activity. You'd be surprised how many unusual skills count toward college scholarships. For example, the Chick and Sophie Major Memorial Duck Calling Contest awards first place winners $2,000 for their duck calling abilities. The National Marbles Tournament gives out 4 scholarships annually to students who've won a local marble championship. No matter your passion, there's probably a scholarship for it. 5. Demonstrate need. Many young people are struggling to make ends meet right now, with 23% of millennials skipping mortgage or rent payments due to debt. Need-based scholarships award students who can prove their financial hardship. Financial needs scholarship applications may ask for a copy of your free application for federal student aid. This form helps colleges determine whether you qualify for financial aid. The main benefit of securing a scholarship is that, unlike a loan, you don't have to repay it. It's yours to keep. 6. Apply for no essay scholarships. As the name suggests, no essay scholarships don't require you to write an essay to apply. Some function like a lottery system. Although thousands of people might apply for a single no essay scholarship, all you usually have to do is submit a simple form to be entered into the drawing. For example, Dr. Pepper Tuition Giveaway offers multiple awards worth up to $2,500 for high school seniors and college students. Just submit the entry form and forget about it. Although the odds of securing a no-essay scholarship are low, you can apply for them quickly, submitting your name to dozens or hundreds of them to maximize your chances of winning. It can be worth it if you have a few extra minutes in the day, such as while you're riding the bus or waiting in line to put your name in the proverbial hat. 7. Search for demographic-based scholarships. No matter your race, gender, or situation in life, there are probably specific scholarships geared toward your demographic. For example, the Abi Kune Underrepresented Minorities Scholarship awards $2,000 to African American women seeking a degree in computer science or data science. The Fathers for Scholars Scholarship gives $500 to young fathers who want to attend college. Acorn Equality Fund offers up to $4,000 for LGBTQ students living in Illinois. Many scholarship databases let you filter the search results by demographics, so use these tools to find specific scholarships that few people will probably apply for. Funding your dream. College is expensive, but you can make it happen. You don't have to pay back scholarships. So if you secure one, or several, you can use the money to pay for part or all of your tuition. Believe in yourself and apply for as many scholarships as you can. You've got this. Our next article, from theteenmagazine.com. How to Handle the Holidays When You're Not in the Mood. This article was written by Chantel Hernandez. When the holidays come around for most people, it means caroling, gingerbread houses, tons of food, and presents. However, for others comes the feeling of dread. People often assume everyone likes the holidays. Well, they are wrong. Tons of people hate the holidays. There is nothing wrong with that. Reasons to hate holidays. People can hate the holidays for various reasons. It can be because your family doesn't get along very well. It can be because of a divorce, breakup, or recent death. It can be because you are stressed out getting presents for everyone and money is tight. Maybe you usually love the holidays, but this year you don't. This is fine. The question is how to cope with these feelings. Allow yourself to be sad. Sometimes people dread the holidays because of a bad memory, such as death, a divorce, or something. This is completely fine, and you should not hold it in. Allow yourself to cry or be upset a little. Just forcing yourself to be happy will only make the experience worse. Permit yourself not to celebrate the holidays. Say no. It can be stressful to make plans for the holidays, such as what food to bring, what presents to buy for whom, buying plane tickets, where you will stay, and so much more. Do not feel obligated to participate in the holidays just because everyone else is. If you just are not feeling it, loudly and firmly say no. You don't have to explain yourself. Simply just say no. Take care of yourself. Oftentimes, people don't want to celebrate the holidays because they have just had a loss that they are still upset about. Because of this, people often neglect their health. Please make sure to take care of yourself by eating healthily, exercising, and getting a full 8 hours of sleep. While physical health is important, mental health is not something to be neglected either. Be sure to take care of your mental health as well. Try finding a hobby or doing something you enjoy. Make a gratitude journal. Do your best to improve your mental health. Don't feel like you have to answer. Your relatives and friends may question why you don't want to celebrate the holidays. If you do not want to answer, then don't let your relatives, friends, or even random strangers bombard you with questions about why you don't want to celebrate. They do not mean to attack you. They are just simply concerned, and there is nothing wrong with that. Just tell them you don't feel it this year and remove yourself from the conversation. Find like-minded people. You are not the only one out there who is dreading the holidays. Maybe someone else dreads the holidays. Bond over your mutual disinterest for the holidays, even if it is just for this year. You do not have to go through this alone. Create new traditions. People sometimes dread the holidays because of the traditions they must do, such as spending dinner with those annoying cousins or those obnoxious in-laws. You do not have to do the same traditions every year. Try and change it. Changing it will make you enjoy it better. It will help you realize that you don't have to stick with the same routine each year. Instead of spending your holidays with family, spend the holidays alone. Instead of buying presents, send a simple card through the mail. Do whatever floats your boat. Don't feel bad. If you don't want to celebrate the holidays, people will accuse you of being a Grinch or a Scrooge. Don't allow people to make you feel bad for not wanting to celebrate the holidays. Give yourself some compassion, and don't let people make you feel guilty for not wanting to celebrate. Be true to yourself. Don't force yourself to celebrate or go to some extravagant party where you must talk with other people when you are not in the mood. Instead, you can have a normal night at home by yourself. Do things your way and stay true to your emotions and feelings. Limit social media. It is best to limit your social media usage during the holidays. People will be posting pictures of how much they enjoy the holidays. This will cause you to feel worse about your situation. so it is best to stay away from social media, or at the very least, try to limit your time spent. Volunteer. While volunteering may be the last thing you want to do when you are going through a tough time, it may be good for you. Volunteering has been proven to improve your physical and mental health. Volunteering gives you a sense of pride in helping, which releases dopamine. Dopamine is a pleasure hormone, so even though you think you aren't in the volunteering mood, it is still good to try. Get a hobby. In every cloud, there is a silver lining. Try to find a silver lining in the holidays by finding yourself a hobby. It is important to exercise self-care by doing something you enjoy. Examples of good hobbies include reading, journaling, painting, and doing yoga. The possibilities are endless. So find something you enjoy and make a hobby out of it. Or better yet, find something you have never done before and try it out. Realize it will soon be over. When you are going through the holidays, you think the holidays will never end. However, they will end. Realize that they will soon be over. Then, you will have to wait another 365 days to go through this again. Life has good times and bad times, but both are only temporary. In conclusion, it may be challenging when you go through the holiday season. It is okay not to enjoy or celebrate the holidays. It is okay to prioritize your needs and wants during this time. Just remember to stay true to your emotions and that this will soon be over. And our next article from TeenVogue.com. Transgender History Month. California becomes the first state to honor trans history. This article was written by James Factora, and there is a note. This article was originally published by them. California's State Assembly voted in favor of House Resolution 57, establishing that August will be recognized as Transgender History Month starting in 2024, and making it the first state to honor trans history with such a designation. The legislation cites California's long-ranging significance in trans history, starting with Spanish colonizers' suppression of gender variance among indigenous people, which the resolution says was a foundational event of the history of the state. It also cites the Stonewall precursor, Compton's cafeteria riot, Lou Sullivan's trailblazing activism on behalf of trans men, and the establishment of the transgender district in San Francisco in 2017, among many other events. California has long been the epicenter of the trans liberation movement, the resolution reads, supporting the transgender community by designating August as Transgender History Month will create a culture led by research, education, and scholarly recognition of the contributions of transgender Californians to our great state's history, and will educate future generations of Californians on the importance of this history. The California Assembly Democrats held a press conference outside the California State Capitol to announce the passage of the resolution on Wednesday. Assemblymember Matt Haney, who represents San Francisco and who introduced the resolution, was joined at the event by Honey Mahogany and Jupiter Peraza, co-founder and program associate, respectively, of the Transgender District, the first legally recognized transgender district in the world. Mahogany took the mic first, acknowledging that while California enjoys some unique protections for trans people, the state is still plagued by transphobia. Even here in California, where we have a sanctuary state, where we have overwhelmingly Democrats representing us in the Capitol, we are still seeing acts of violence. We are still seeing attempts at legislating against our community, she said. And so it's really important to us that we stop spreading misinformation about the trans community and take this opportunity to actually tell the truth and educate people about who we are and what we need. She then introduced Haney, who further emphasized the importance of trans history. As long as there has been a California, there have been transgender people here, Haney said. contributing to their community, making history, and expanding civil rights, and helping to build a California that is more inclusive and prosperous for everyone. San Francisco was the first city to recognize Transgender History Month, which it enacted in 2021. And although these declarations are largely symbolic, they are deeply meaningful symbols at a time when LGBTQ+ curriculum is under attack and painted as dangerous to students. And our next article from TeenVogue.com. Usher to headline the 2024 Super Bowl halftime show. And this article was written by Ashley Carter. Usher has officially been named the Super Bowl halftime performer. The singer and R&B legend announced on social media that he would be taking the stage at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas on February 11, 2024. Usher, 44, along with the official NFL, Apple Music, and Rock Nation accounts, posted the promo picture, along with several videos making the announcement. "It's an honor of a lifetime to finally check a Super Bowl performance off my bucket list. I can't wait to bring the world a show unlike anything else they've seen from me," Usher said in a statement. "Thank you to the fans and everyone who made this opportunity happen. I'll see you real soon." The promo videos parody the classic Usher music video for his hit song Confessions Part 2, which shows the singer answering a phone call and finding out he got a woman pregnant. Instead, the promos cut to present-day Usher, who tells his younger self that he is going to be headlining Super Bowl 58. In another video, Kim Kardashian is shown on the other end of the phone, also letting him know that he's going to be a headliner. Usher became a household name and icon in the early 2000s after his Grammy Award-winning album Confessions. He's since had several number one hits, including Yeah, featuring Ludacris and Lil Jon, Burn, My Boo, featuring Alicia Keys, and more. He is currently performing at his sold-out Usher My Way residency in Las Vegas until December. This year's Apple Music halftime show marks the fifth year that the NFL and Jay-Z's Rock Nation have collaborated on a musical act. This has since resulted in performances from Rihanna, Shakira, and Jennifer Lopez, Dr. Dre, Eminem, Snoop Dogg, and Mary J. Blige. Usher is the ultimate artist and showman. Ever since his debut at the age of 15, he's been charting his own unique course, Jay-Z wrote in a statement. Beyond his flawless singing and exceptional choreography, Usher bears his soul. His remarkable journey has propelled him to one of the grandest stages in the world. I can't wait to see the magic. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.